60 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Miller and Condon on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO with you for the next couple of hours, and thank you for electing to spend at least portion of the program here with Trent and myself. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list today, bottom of the hour, Dylan Mons, who I believe is still in Orlando, taking a couple of days before he makes his way back into the fine state of Iowa, but we'll get Dylan Mons in here dot I's and cross T's from the Camping World Bowl at 10:30. 11 o'clock, Bama Bob, Trent, and I will take a look at a majority of the bowl, certainly the two playoff games and maybe a point or two on some of the other things that stood out to us, and then a look ahead to New Year's Day as we're off tomorrow. I have no idea the morning rush if they're coming in tomorrow or not. They were given the day off. We'll see if they choose to take that day or not. But I know that we won't, and the Fanatics won't, and Murph and Andy won't. So we'll take a look at the January 1st Bulls with Bama. And then Scott Dockerman at 11:25 or so from The Athletic will recap the Holiday Bowl, which goes to the Hawkeyes in convincing fashion. The playoffs are set in the NFL. Maybe a little bit on that, but likely going to be overshadowed by a whole lot of college football talk here this morning. How are you, sir?
Not great, but I'm battling my way through, trying to figure out, need to get some disinfectant in here as I'm battling a bit of stomach flu here today.
Oh, swell.
Yeah,
we from both ends. Well, you know, I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to know. Yeah, it's sorry,
not
I
good.
Asked.
It's not good, but hey, I'm here talking sports. Nothing wrong with that. Not digging ditches. So we will battle through here for the next couple of hours, and certainly a day that's easy to talk about in the Hawkeye side of things. Cyclones, not so much after the weekend.
No, they were humiliated. Trent is what they were. So let's do the good before we do the bad, which was Iowa State's performance in the Camping World. They were outclassed. Mm-hmm. But Iowa and USC on Friday night in a very entertaining football game. It really and truly was. You know where I want to start? Probably with a great big old tip of the cap to Brian Ferentz and his play calling and his game plan going into this football game was simply on point. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to say, you remember what the old, who was it, if you give him 3 weeks to prepare, whatever, you can fill in the blank. Norm Parker was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. I think Paterno had that, anointed. Give Brian Ferentz time to prepare for this USC team anyways. Good God. Trent, the misdirection that seemed to fool USC all night. Nate Stanley, certainly in the first 30 minutes of the football game, was unbelievable. Smith Marset, the improvement out of this kid, Trent, and I said it beginning in about October, November, and I was the only one. No one would want to even go there. I thought he had a decision to make. Sure. And yes, it's a deep receiver class. You tell me that this isn't one of the, certainly, we saw it all year, but it was really on display on Friday night.
You go back to his freshman year, came onto the scene very well, made the plays against Iowa State to win that game, but you could still see those first couple of years as a wide receiver, he had issues. I mean, the ball played him a lot of times. Mm-hmm. He wasn't fluid out there. We knew there was speed.
Good description. He wasn't fluid.
But he was battling the football mm-hmm. a lot of times. This guy has gone to a completely different level. And if he is back, coupled with the rest of that receiving crew,
yeah,
the running backs,
throw
starting
Laporta
with
into the mix, because good God, do they have something there.
Six catches in the bowl game. He came on in the second half of the year. Skill position is set.
Yep.
Alaric Jackson is back.
Right.
Going to lose Tristan Wirfs.
Yep.
But a lot of guys with talent. Banwart's going to be back, and you'd hope healthy.
That's
a guy
point.
That was a starter.
You forget about him.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, think about him and maybe some of the issues they had at the guard position this year, if they were able to plug him. We know about Linderbaum, though. Maybe regressed a little bit as the season went on.
Yeah, maybe wore down a little bit. As a freshman in the Big Ten in the middle of that line with a nose tackle in front of you a lot of times.
But he was a guy that certainly turned heads throughout his freshman season.
Oh, he's a nasty SOB, Trent, and I love that about him.
This team, it's down to the quarterback position, but if they find one, they're going to be in really good shot. It's Spencer Petras' job to lose, I think, right now. Conversation, though, that is out there. Grad transfer market. Iowa has dipped their toe into it a little bit. Would this be a time to do that? Well, could you see Iowa going that route? They've done it for different positions. Quarterback's different.
Yeah.
a developmental program, kind of the signal that it sends, those types of things. I don't know. Felipe Franks, a name that is certainly out there.
He's available.
Very talented guy. Mm-hmm. If he's looking for a place and a place to run a pro-style offense, certainly he should be looking at Iowa. But I don't even know if it's something that Iowa, at the quarterback position, if it's something that they would even look at.
Yeah, obviously it's going to depend a whole lot on what they think that they've got there, and, mm-hmm. and they watch Petras all year long, and it's too bad Deuce Hogan's not going to be able to get to campus earlier because
Go through spring would be a big
help. Go through spring ball would have been a huge help for him because I know they're very high in him.
Padilla's a guy, too.
Yes, there's a good one.
I mean, Padilla had an offer from Georgia.
Yep.
Georgia doesn't just offer random kids from Colorado for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy with a lot of talent himself. And that's the thing. The quarterback room appears to at least have talent there where I don't think... I don't know. I don't think that it's something that they're going to look
untested
to tap into.
Talent, but still, like you say, if the quarterback position gives them what we think that they can, this team's going to be in fine shape, and they got to be because the schedule that those back to back to back weeks, as you pointed out, when we do get to the 2020 schedule, and trust me, we'll have weeks, days, months to take a long look at that. But yeah, if they can get something out of the quarterback on the defensive side of the football, I think they're just. I mean, obviously, Epinesa, boy, he was unbelievable. In that football game on Friday. No, as a football fan, as me. Okay?
Yes, you.
Don't have a... I want Iowa State to do well. That's kind of how I am. But I don't lose a wink of sleep if they don't do well.
Right.
As a fan, though, I kind of felt shortchanged that Slovis got hurt. And as a fan.
As a Hawkeye fan, I said, thank God that guy's
out. Yeah, because he was having a good game.
He was really good. And if Epinesa doesn't get to him on the play that he was injured, there's a guy streaking up the field wide open.
Right.
He delivers that ball. It's a different game. They had just come off of getting the onside kick. It's 31-28.
I know it.
USC with the lead, but Epinesa got there, got to Slovis, and with it, completely changed the complexion of that game. It was a fun one.
Yeah.
It really was, and you mentioned the misdirection. That's something that I think I was going to have to continue to do more of. Another thought, and I think Kirk mentioned this two different times here, once towards the end of the season and once during bowl prep, is the way that they are now calling the cut blocks.
Yeah.
If it's time to, they're not going to completely go away from the zone blocking scheme, but there needs to be more elements to what they do. We saw some gap blocking. We've seen that really the last couple of years. They've done more of it, but it's nothing significant. It's not even a quarter, I don't think, of their playbook and what they're trying to do. Is it time? Is this the offseason to do it? You got a starting left tackle coming back. Your starting center's coming back. You got plenty of pieces that have experience out there on the offensive line.
Shooter, you didn't mention his name.
Yes,
he's
absolutely.
Not losing the spot.
So you have these pieces all coming together where it's not four new offensive starters and we're going to go with a new scheme on top of it. You have experience. Maybe the time is now to reevaluate because the run game, it hasn't worked for three straight years.
Nope. And they've got something in Goodson. They've got a running back there. I think we've seen enough in him to realize that this kid is going to have a nice career before it's all said and done. Well, that was a terrific performance out of the Hawks. I thought that Nick Neiman played well. When he had his opportunity, we mentioned Laporta a little bit. Really, the only guy that kind of jumped off the television screen, Colbert had a really bad couple of series there early in the first half of the game. Davion Nixon, I mean, he flashed during that football game as he has all year long. Trent, the one thing, I'm still scratching my head on Geno Stone's decision. To me, it's... And I'm assuming he's going to get bad news. And I say bad news because I think that he wants to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he'd be making a mistake, in my opinion, if he decides to leave now. Because I don't think he's going to hear what he wants to hear from the NFL.
Well, and you have to remember the grades that they get from the advisory committee. It's not, you're looking at a fourth round.
No, it's one or two.
Yeah, you're either... first or second rounder,
right.
Or go back to school.
Right.
Those are the two grades that come back. He's not going to get a first or second round grade. Think of Hooker last year. Guy was defensive back of the year, incredibly athletic, all over the place. That's not Geno Stone. Geno Stone's a nice player. Mm-hmm. He's a solid player.
Right.
If he gets assurances that he's going to be drafted and you start that clock already and give it a shot as opposed to play, I guess, but I think coming back for
a senior. I don't know the family situation, right. Trent. I don't. Mm-hmm. I know Werf's... any hope, I think, of him coming back And I keep going back to senior day, and I obviously clearly read way too much into it because he was really taken by that. But his mom, as a lot of, sadly, parents of college football players have, his mom's worked three jobs all of her life, right? So this would be an opportunity to pay her back in a lot of ways, and I'm sure that he will. He seems like a great kid. Mm-hmm. But I think any hope that that he's going to surprise everybody and come back, I think we're kidding ourselves there. So they lose Wirfs, they're going to lose Epinesa. But man, as you mentioned, the skill guys are all coming back. The quarterback, if he gives them anything. Oh man, this was a fun Hawkeye. This was a fun year. I don't think you can say in any respects. Would you love to have one of the games back? Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah, probably. I would say the Michigan game of the three.
And you'd love to have Welsh in Wisconsin. I don't know if there's a difference or not, but he makes a difference. Christian Welsh makes a difference to that defense when he's on the field.
Yeah, without him in the second half of Penn mm-hmm. State, you saw Penn State was able to basically do what they wanted with those runs up the middle. You get Brandon Smith and a healthy Welsh out there for the Wisconsin game. Maybe it is different, but injuries are part of it.
Yeah,
too.
They are. That's a great point. Brandon Smith. Smith Marset had him.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed it by an inch, right?
Yes.
Missed it by an inch.
Can you imagine having that, though? A rushing, a receiving, a throwing, and of course, the kick return for a touchdown all in the game. He was inches away from completing that one. Smith Marset's a fun guy. He's also entertaining. He's a guy that'll jaw.
Yeah.
He'll talk out there. He'll do it. And you need those kind of guys. You can't just, everybody can't be blue collar, button up kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You need a little bit more out there, and Smith Marset provides that. Excitement's going to be there. It's going to be palpable going into this offseason. And for people that are concerned about that quarterback position, remember first year quarterbacks under Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah.
There's been a history of guys without experience coming in there and playing at a very, very high level. They get their quarterbacks ready. Ken O'Keefe has been a big part of that, too.
And his contract is up.
Up, I think, tomorrow.
Is that right?
Maybe it goes through signing day. Maybe it's February 15th or something.
Well, decision to be made. I don't know. I haven't heard any speculation on that. Most of the focus, and understandably so.
I know Keith said a lot of good things about Petras, though. And when he's been asked about the other quarterbacks, he has gushed a couple of different times about Petras. Maybe he says, you know what? Let's try for another year.
Why not?
Or another couple of years.
Why not? He certainly hasn't been an anchor on that program.
No,
he
not
really
at
truly
all.
Hasn't. He's way more popular in his return than he was in his first go around there. So
speaking of guys that are going to be more popular, I think that's going to be Nate Stanley.
Oh, without
too,
a doubt.
When people look back in the here and now, and this is quarterbacks as a whole, I think people after a while, you've seen the same kind of things and the same negatives that are part of their game, and you glam onto that.
Trent, how about the resume? 3-0 in a bowl game, 3-0 against Iowa State, 3-0 against Nebraska, 3-0 against Minnesota.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
That's really good. That's really, really good. Never got one against his home state Badgers.
No.
Never got to a championship game, and I guess those are the two negatives. That guy put together one heck of a career.
Don't know what you got until it's gone, and now he's gone, and I think we're going to hear that going forward. All right, let's go forward to Saturday, and the day started in Orlando at the Camping World Bowl. I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
They were outclassed, Trent.
They played a lot better football team.
They played a lot better football team, no doubt about it. Look, Notre Dame handed it to them. There was never a point in the game that I thought that, Iowa State's going to win this football game. I really didn't. I mean, three field goals. Brock Purdy was meh. Breece Hall maybe was the best player on the field offensively.
And he averaged 3.2 a touch.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa State loses a whole bunch of guys and a whole bunch of guys that made a huge impact on this program. Petway, they lose their top two receivers in DeShante Jones and LaMichael Petway, the grad transfer from Arkansas who was here for 1 year and I thought had a really nice year. Not all the time that these guys work, right? Coming into a new system from him, from the SEC to a Big 12 team. And by the way, the Big 12 is yet to win a bowl game.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not sure they will. If K-State doesn't beat Navy, I think the Big 12 could get blank. You like Texas over Utah? I don't.
I kind of do.
Do you?
Yeah, but it's Kyle Whittingham talking about guys giving them 3 weeks to prepare. Whittingham's as good as anybody.
You like you like Baylor over Georgia with the Matt Rhule stuff that's floating out? He addressed the team last night and told his team that I would be crazy not to listen to the NFL. This is 2 days before they're playing in the Sugar Bowl, right? He's telling his team that he's looking around.
with a banged up quarterback room.
Yes.
With Charlie Brewer.
Charlie Brewer's not going to play, is he?
Yeah.
I think he is.
Yeah. And we saw in the championship game, I mean, was it Zenko? What was the kid's name? Made a couple of plays.
His first two plays, and that was it.
But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all that he was able to do. Yeah, that's a scary proposition right there. What does it do to the perception after what happened to Oklahoma, and if the conference as a whole goes over?
To me, there's no other way around it. They're overrated. The Big 12 was overrated all year long. They got six bowl teams six teams bowl eligible, and right now they're sitting on a big fat 0-3. I mean, Oklahoma State got off to a good start, and then Texas A&M flexed on them.
Right.
I mean, and Notre Dame, they humiliated Iowa State. Iowa State didn't look like they belonged on the same field with this football team.
What do we think of Brock Purdy? He's a nice player.
He's a nice player, but the Heisman conversation is absolutely ridiculous. Hearing Coach Pinocchio say he was hurt all year. Well, he also said that Julian Good-Jones is fine. So you can't believe a word out of Campbell's mouth when it comes to one of his players pursuant to an injury. You can't believe it. So I'm not going to believe that Brock Purdy was banged up. I don't believe you.
Because everybody asked the question. The media did their job. They asked what was out there about Julian Good-Jones, and we were sold a bill of goods. No, yes. It's good.
As recently as Friday, on the sides, after the joint press conference with Brian Kelly, everybody's good going into the walkthrough. He said that, and I asked Dylan to repeat that at the end, because there's no way he was going to play. And look, we want to protect your guys, that's fine. But then when you come out after and say one of my guys was hurt during the season, I'm not going to buy that. You can't have it both ways.
Well, and how about he also said, and he was more hurt in the Kansas State and Oklahoma State games. His ankle was bothering him more in those games. So the games he played poorly, it was an ankle injury. But the games he played fine, the ankle was fine. Yeah. That's what we're supposed to believe.
He's got his moments, Trent. He's a nice player. He's a nice player. And Iowa State's got him for two more years. But the Heisman conversation, please, be real.
There's limitations to his
game. Yes, absolutely.
Everything's
off his back foot. He chucks everything off his back foot. And here's the other thing.
Sloppy with mechanics. That drives me nuts.
And Tom Manning's got to drive that fan base up a wall, because this, and not just him, any coach, you know, when you need an inch, and you're going to try and get that inch, put your quarterback under center, for crying out loud. I don't care if he's not as big as Nate Stanley, and he's clearly not. Get a push from behind him. You know, Breece Hall's got some size, right? He's 6'1 over two Bills. He can get in there and push from behind.
Use one of those tight ends as an H-back.
Absolutely.
And push him back behind. I know they don't have the full complement of fullbacks because of what they are, but you can figure out a way. Sitting there, 4 or 5 yards back, taking a shotgun snap on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. It's absolutely infuriating. Well, they don't do it a whole lot. Well, practice it then.
Mm-hmm.
Because that yard is important. A fresh set of downs is important. They weren't able to do that.
And look what they lose defensively. Ray Lima, gone. Jamal Johnson, gone. Marcel Spears, who had a really nice career, gone.
Excellent.
McMillan had some plays. Braxton Lewis, I thought, was terrific in that football game. Might have been one of the stars defensive, at least early in the game. Bickham, the grad transfer, You know, a lot of guys work out. He was one that really,
He was okay.
He was okay, but he certainly wasn't great. I don't know about this Iowa State team going forward. I mean, I read Randy Peterson's piece online. Yes, the hype's already starting. The hype is already starting for next year with this football team. What am I missing? Cyclone fans, don't buy it anymore. You are sold this bill of goods year, and you buy it year after year after year. And you're thinking to yourself this morning, this is a 6-6, 7-5. Fast forward 4 or 5 months from now, those folks that are saying 7-5 are all in on 9-3, 10-2.
Absolutely.
No one wins the offseason more than Iowa State. Nobody in football has a better offseason than Iowa State with their fan base.
It's their best time of year right now.
Right, absolutely.
It's the offseason.
The historical season finished 7-6.
And who they beat?
What was their best win?
Texas?
Texas has to be, right?
Texas
is their best win.
Who
did they beat with a winning record?
Well, you and I, but it's an FCS team. And they needed a fumble recovery for the ages just to do that.
Yeah, look, you and I had a nice year.
They did.
You and I had a nice year. Absolutely had a nice year.
West Virginia, Texas Tech.
No, not bowl eligible.
No. Had to come back to beat Kansas in the fourth quarter?
Please. You and I was a triple overtime tilt.
So what does next year's schedule look like?
Well, I don't think they've got to go to, obviously, they've got to go to Kinnick.
Right.
I think UNLV is on the schedule. Do they play South Dakota or South Dakota State?
Oh, let's bring it up here. I got it right in front of me. 2020 football schedule. South Dakota to kick things off.
Okay.
The Coyotes.
Okay.
Then at Iowa.
Right.
UNLV.
Okay.
And here's where
UNLV's got a new coach.
Now, it opens up about as good as you could really hope for in Big 12 play.
Mm-hmm.
You get Texas Tech at home. You go to Kansas.
Texas Tech at home to Kansas. Okay.
Then it's at Oklahoma State.
Okay.
This program has struggled with Oklahoma. Even down Oklahoma State teams haven't played well.
And Oklahoma State's got some dudes.
They do. Then it's Oklahoma.
Mm.
Bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Home for Kansas State. You can't put that in the win column.
Absolutely not.
The one win in the last 11 years was a huge comeback a season ago.
Right.
At TCU.
Toss up, but certainly, yeah. TCU, you think, is going to be better. I mean, Dugan's got a year under his belt. He showed flashes this year.
And he played very banged up, and we actually knew that throughout the season, how banged up he was. Baylor at home.
Matt Rhule's leaving.
At Texas. Okay. And then West Virginia back at the end of the schedule again this year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. 6-6?
I don't
know.
7-5?
This was the year, Trent. They had all those pieces on defense. They're going to miss Ray Lima
in a big
way. They're going to miss Spears in a big, big way. Matt Leal showed glimpses. Jamal Johnson showed glimpses during his career. They lose the entire, four out of the five pieces of the offensive line. Their two best receivers, Kohler's a nice player. The most receptions, the two guys had the most receptions in Petway and Deshaunte Jones. Both of those guys have exhausted their eligibility. Man, oh man. I mean, I really like Sean Shaw. I think they've got something there in Sean Shaw. He showed glimpses at the end. Breece Hall is a terrific player and is going to be one of the best running backs in the Big 12. Purdy is okay, but Heisman conversation with this kid already?
With an offensive line that is going to have to replace four starters.
Right.
An offensive line that never became great. At best, it was adequate.
Yeah. But they were never adequate, so that's why, I mean, they hadn't been until this year.
And we're going to hear this offseason, well, you know, Joey Ramos, he could have started for a lot of programs.
Right.
And we're going to hear these kind of things and on. You and me, we're going to say we're not going to buy it.
Right. But for the fan base, let it go in one ear and out the other.
Be like Missouri. Show me state, right?
Right.
Show me. Until you actually see it with your eyes, don't fall for it.
Nope.
Don't fall for it. Go to the game. Support your team. That's not what we're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And have fun doing so. You should.
Enjoy your tailgate. Enjoy the games. When you get the win, get the win. But
and you've been bowling back-to-back-to-back years. When can you say that? I didn't go your way. You're 1-2, but still.
But you did that three consecutive years, first time ever in program history. Right. Yet the negativity surrounding it, and I think it's a lot because the fan base got so enamored.
Well, you know who it is, Trent? I don't want to fault you and I because I don't think that you and me, I mean, not university, it's the media too.
Right.
I mean, the Central Iowa media, let's be honest.
I had them 7-5.
Let's be honest, they're singing from the hymn book.
Remember, before the year, I had them 7-5. I was one of the few.
I was 8-4.
Because I told you, and we said, all right, you have to make a bet and you can't bet push.
Right.
And I said, well,
you went under, I went over.
They've had one season in my lifetime where they went over that number.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the under.
Yeah.
And here they are, under 7-6.
They got a lot of guys. Look, they've got some really good, talented players on that defense. Mike Rose took steps forward this year. Zach Peterson, I really like this kid. He's going to be a really nice player. Eisworth, when he's healthy. How many times we mentioned Tavon Kyle? You know, he almost caught that kid. He came within a whisker of making an unbelievable play to catch Jones from behind. He took the angle, and Jones just fought him off. Now, he had a handful of face mask to do so, but you know what? C'est la vie. Anyways, just a terrific weekend of football. Playoff games were, you know, as lopsided as the LSU-Oklahoma was. Just watching Joe Burrow do his thing was reason enough to keep tuning in. And then the late game, Clemson, Ohio State lived up to the hype. And how about this? Joe Burrow versus Trevor Lawrence? Yes, please. I mean, what a quarterback matchup in the championship game. I mean, this Lawrence is unbelievable. Did you know he had, I knew he could run the ball.
Yeah.
But did you know to the extent, I mean, Trent, that 67-yard touchdown run,
not even
was
close.
Unbelievable.
No.
I didn't know he had that kind of jets.
No, not at all. He was a guy that could move a little bit. That's always how I saw him. And then you see that play, and to do it against the Ohio State defense, who's not exactly slow of foot out there.
No,
they got dudes that could run.
Yes.
To do that was incredibly impressive. Still, for me, the call.
So which one? They're talking about the pass that Okuda broke up or the one he stripped from Ross, right? So here's the thing, and I agree with you. I agree with you that it was kind of iffy. But did you hear, and I'm certain you did, if you watched and listened to the game, when Herb Street was making a, no doubt about it, that's a turnover, this play is going to stand, the retired former official that's in the booth with Herb Street and Fowler, do you know who that is? It's not John Perry. He does Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Steratore, obviously. Whoever their rules expert is,
right.
His quote was, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm close, "Kurt, with all due respect, I've got that as an incomplete pass."
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear him say that?
I did, yes.
And nobody to that point, and certainly I didn't, I don't think anybody that was watching the game, thought that there was any two ways about this, that this is a strip return for a touchdown.
All right.
Kurt, with all due respect, I've got that as an incomplete pass. Within 30 seconds of saying that, the referee and SEC crew, by the way, the ACC crew that did the Peach Bowl early was just abysmal.
Yes.
I mean, and this is the best you can come up with? My God.
The ACC crew also that did the Holiday Bowl didn't have their best performance.
Yeah, no,
either.
They did. That's a good point. That's what who was it? Oh, they got Reganey. Reganey just
he was covered up.
Yeah, covered up, right.
Except he was a line off.
But you know what? It worked out well because the very next play, then he caught like a 30-yard pass or 20-something yard pass. But, I'm with you. I mean, I thought that the targeting was the right call. And maybe we can hate the rule, and we do hate the rule.
Mm-hmm.
The intent clearly wasn't there, but I think it was the right call. And Wade being ejected was huge for Ohio State.
No doubt.
Because he's a player. And that's the end of his college career. But Okuda, he stripped the football from Ross. He stripped the football from Ross. I get why Ryan Day and Ohio State fans are a little hot under the collar.
Well, you know what? They got a national championship with a call, so they can handle it.
Right. And the Michigan-Ohio State game not too many years ago, that fourth down play, the spot. Exactly. Exactly. That went their favor. So it evens out. It evens out. We'll talk to Dylan Montz next. We take you here until noon. It's Miller and Condon. 11 o'clock, we'll get more into those playoff games. Take a look ahead to what's coming up on Wednesday, although we've got games tonight. We've got some good games tomorrow. Does the Big 12 get off the schneid? Do they go winless in this bowl season? They're 0-3. It's up to Baylor, I guess.
You don't sound very confident.
I don't. You like
Kansas
you
State.
Like K-State?
I do
don't
like
you?
K-State.
I like Navy, but I'm going. I made that pick, I think, right on the heels of the Army game, and I was really impressed. Anyways, Dylan Montz joins the program next. Trent and I take you until noon. It's Miller and Condon. Thanks for spending time with us on Des Moines Sports Station 14-0.
KXNO in your pocket with iHeartRadio on your smartphone. This is Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO's. We take you until noon, 11 o'clock. Bama, Trent, and I will go around college football, taking a long look at the two playoff games. And then Scott Dockerman joins the program at about 11:25. Off to Orlando we go. He's still there. He's vacationing for a couple days. Dylan Montz from the Ames Tribune. Dylan, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on and giving us a few minutes here as you stay down in the Sunshine State. How are you, Dylan?
Yeah, doing well, guys. Just thought I'd soak in the last couple of days down here while I made the trip anyway. So it's good to be with you, though.
So when did the team leave? Did they stay till yesterday, or did they get on a plane right after the game, Dylan?
Yeah, they stayed the night,
good.
The day of the game, and then left the following morning. So they got a little bit more time down here. I'm not sure if really anything happened, but it was just a little bit more time, and then they regathered and came up the next morning.
Yeah, good for them. A little R&R never hurts anybody at the end of a season. Glad that they did. Look, Notre Dame was just too much for Iowa State, clearly, in the football game. They had no answer for them. I think if there was a dagger, if you will, in the game, Dylan, it was clearly Jones, the way they started the second half with that long, what was it, 84, 85 yards, whatever it was. And Tavon Kyle made a terrific play, took the angle, and was able to catch up with him. Just couldn't get him off the ground as Jones had a handful of Lyle's face mask, but that's our Kyle's face mask rather. But that to me was, if there was any hope for Cyclones that they were going to come back and make this a football game, I think it was lost at that point. Did you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, because we can go back and rehash some of the points in the first half where things kind of went awry. You know, the two turnovers, obviously, the fourth and one where they didn't get it. The false start down at the three, those were all kind of backbreakers. But then the 84-yard run in the second half just kind of sealed things up. It was you know, we talked about the lines the whole time, the whole time leading up to the game. And a lot of big guys up front, just weren't able to really handle that, I guess, overall in the end. And, that did kind of feel like, the nail in the coffin, if you want to say that. But it's just, a little too much Notre Dame all the way around for Iowa State.
It was a big conversation throughout. We find out before the game officially, Julian Good-Jones out with a leg injury. Afterwards, any more talk about what happened there and just the rumors that were out there that we talked about so much leading into the game?
Yeah, nothing really addressed the rumors after the game. It was all kind of done on the front end of the week. Matt Campbell said he heard him, said that he wasn't suspended. It was interesting, though, because he said at the beginning of the week that he was hopeful Julian Good-Jones could play. He expected him to play. Obviously, that turned out not to be the case, and they had kind of been preparing for it, I guess. Leading up to the game with that reconfigured offensive line with Josh Knipple, left tackle, and Colin Duwalt, right guard. So it wasn't a surprise to see him not playing, but their story is that he was injured, and that's all we can go off of, I guess.
Dylan, two guys on the offense. Well, they lost guys on both sides of the football, but LaMichael Petway, it's not often, I shouldn't say that. It's hit and miss is a better way to put it. When you bring in grad transfers and, you know, how are they going to acclimate to the new system? Are they going to, fit in with their teammates, etc.? Petway clearly did. I think he's going to have an opportunity based on, his senior season in Ames to play at the next level. Deshaunte Jones had an outstanding career, clearly going to be missed. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I don't have to remind anybody, Ray Lima, Ann Johnson, Ann Spears, Braxton Lewis, 33, I thought was really good in the football game. A lot of guys, Dylan, are saying goodbye to that program, and they're clearly going to be missed.
Yeah, those are some foundational players that you just mentioned. Poway and Jones, I thought, when all the conversation leading up to the season was, how was Iowa State going to replace Keen Butler? It just kind of, every time he would talk, every time anybody would ask me about it, that kind of was the first thing people would think about. And, I don't think he could have asked for better situations than that. And, grad transfers are kind of new in college football to begin with, but to get one like Petway, who did make such an impact and to trust, especially as the season went along, that's invaluable. And Jones and the position he played, he was kind of the rhythm setter a little bit with playing that M slot receiver position. So those two are tough to replace, but I would say they're showing capability to do both. But, they'll have a full offseason worth of figuring that out. And then on the defensive side, Lima and Johnson have both been kind of the rocks for that defense the last few years as they reset the curve a little bit a couple years ago with the three-man front, and then try to continue that on as players were filled in around them, particularly in the back end with Greg Eisworth. But those guys are ultra important, and then Spears was kind of a little bit of the underlying player, I guess. He didn't get as much space pub as Vance did at the beginning of the year, or as Rose did a lot of the time, switching between positions. But he kind of showed how crucial he was in kind of pulling it all together, connecting the back end with the front end. So, a lot of key players and pieces to figure out for next year, but that's kind of the thing that I would say is try to do the last few years is recruit and develop those guys underneath them to be able to come in and play right away. And it'll be interesting to see which players surface as those candidates.
One guy that I continue to be intrigued with, and we talk about the wide receiver position after the loss of Deshaunte Jones moving on along with Petway, is Joe Skates. We saw him a little bit this year, not a whole lot. He was a big-time recruit, one of the highest-ranked guys that Iowa State has ever gotten. Tell us a little bit about Skates, his development, and maybe a guy that you think at least talent-wise could be a guy to step in there and be a receiver for him big-time next year.
Yeah, I don't think the talent has ever been a question. He was, I think, at one point the highest-rated recruit Iowa State or Matt Campbell had ever brought in at Iowa State. 6'3", so he's really long. Mm-hmm. Slender, has good speed. Did show flashes at times this year of being a guy that could go and make plays. But I think it's just, again, for him, like any young kid, kind of putting all the pieces together and being reliable every single day. So I think that's the thing for him. But if he does, really kind of commit to that that routine that Matt Campbell likes those guys to have, he could be a nice compliment to Sean Shaw next year. And then if Tariq Milton, whether he plays inside or outside, those three could be pretty nice weapons for Iowa State and Brock Purdy next year, complementing Brees Hall in the backfield. So, the question is, the talent has never been the question. It's just putting all the other things together. And,
right.
Another year older for him, another offseason to go through the program, it's big. So it'll be intriguing to see in spring ball what kind of progress he's made in that area.
Yeah, they got some size at the receiver position coming back. Shaw's 6'6". Darren Wilson, he played some. He was 6'3". Skates, you mentioned. Another kid who's 6'3". They got some guys who I think are going to be able to play the position. We've seen flashes of them, but they got some size as well. Dylan, here's what I don't understand, and I hope we never see this again. I don't get the quarterback sneak out of a shotgun. I really don't. Or if you need a couple of inches, get up under center and have Brees Hall or somebody come around like a Chase Allen who's 6'7", 245, or Kohler who's 250, 255, whatever he is, just to push your quarterback as every other team does. Why won't they go directly under center when the situation just screams for that, Dylan?
Yeah, I don't know if it's because they think that being under center makes it look too obvious that you're going to do a sneak, but I'm with you guys. I think you're that much closer, even if it is obvious, even if the defense is expecting it, you're just that much closer and have that much more manpower, I guess, to push you across the line if it's a few inches or a yard. So I've never understood it. Matt Campbell's been asked about it several times, and, he always kind of, seems to brush it aside a little bit or kind of, joke with it a little bit, I guess. But, yeah, I can't imagine they don't practice it, so I don't know if they just set up out of the shotgun so they can make a call at the line based on what the defense is seeing. If they can do a quick pass out of it, or if they do a handoff, or if it's a Brock Purdy run, I think they like it because it's maybe it gives them more versatility to make a call. But when you only need a couple inches, I think you got to line up under center and kind of that old school football mentality and just push forward and go for it. So I'm not really sure exactly what the philosophy is, but that would be my guess.
And didn't that turnover on downs lead to Notre Dame going down the field and scoring on that very possession? Did that I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had 10 points off turnovers, I think, for the game. I don't know if that counts as like a turnover, like those fumbles.
Yeah,
but it will test Notre Dame up with a short field, and that's as bad as anything.
So, Dylan, what other question here kind of on that front and going forward, changes you'd like to see in the offseason, either philosophically what they do, that certainly being a portion of that. What needs to change to continue to build on this and build three consecutive bowl games and take that next step?
Yeah, it's hard to have too much criticism with the defense just because of how much that group was asked to do, but I think it's probably fair to say there's going to be some changes to what the scheme is. I think, it seems like everybody across college football runs it with their own flavor to it. But I think for Iowa State, it's just going to have to be reconfigured a little bit just because teams do kind of expect some of the things that were maybe unexpected a couple of years ago. So finding ways to stay ahead of the curve a little bit. Do they use more four down front? Do they bring up and use another linebacker and those types? I mean, there's going to have to be ways, I think, for them to kind of stay fresh. I think that's probably the biggest thing. And then, this isn't necessarily a philosophical change, but then figuring out what the offensive line looks like and how to utilize those guys' strengths as well, because there's going to be a lot of fresh faces up there. So Yeah, I think those are probably the two biggest things, is how does Iowa State kind of adapt to some of the changes that have happened to allow the defense to continue to stay a little bit ahead of the some of the offenses in the Big 12, mm-hmm. and then the offensive line kind of growing and plugging in some new pieces there.
What about going forward? Do you think will there be any surprises? Is the transfer portal going to open up? Is there, here's a guy like Riel Mitchell. I know that they've recruited the quarterback position very, very well. Mitchell, a redshirt freshman. Brock Purdy's got 2 years still of eligibility left. I don't see Riel Mitchell beating him out. I just don't. And I'm not saying Riel Mitchell is entertaining that, but it's seemingly every single year one of these things comes out of nowhere that it's at least a bit of a surprise. Are you hearing any whispers at all regarding anybody that might seek greener pastures, Dylan?
Not anything concrete, but it's just kind of the maybe speculation about what guys could do, like a Riel Mitchell. And, I know that would probably disappoint or cause a little bit of panic with some people just because of the kind of clout he came in with out of high school and him being the backup quarterback and that leaving, I would say, with only two true freshmen as the backups. But that's kind of the nature of college football anymore. And then I haven't heard one way or the other what he's going to do, whether he's 100% committed to stay or if he would leave. I mean, he hasn't talked about it really ever. I think that kind of thing could be understandable. So I would imagine in the next couple weeks, we'll hear of guys, like you mentioned, it does kind of always seem like there's a surprise or two. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm really expecting that at this point. Obviously, I mean, it being a surprise, I don't know if you can expect surprises, but it's just, that just is kind of the nature of the sport anymore. So I'm sure there'll be something, just don't know what or whom.
Maybe Jarrell Brock. I mean, where's Breece Hall going? He's not going anywhere. Johnny Lang's got, 2 years left, right? 2 years, I think. We'll see. It'll play out. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it. Dylan and Josh, are you going to an NBA game tonight? Who are the Magic playing?
They're playing the Hawks, so not the most pretty high-level basketball you'll see, but still, it's only a few blocks away from the hotel I'm at, so might as well catch in. The tickets should be pretty cheap, so it sounded like a nice way to end.
Absolutely. Dylan, thank you for what you do for us down there. Appreciate it. Have a good couple of days left on your stay in Florida, and we'll talk to you when you get back. Thank you, Dylan Montz.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Good to talk to Dylan Montz, Ames Tribune, checking in from Florida. Riel Mitchell makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, if there isn't a package for him, if there's anything you're going to do.
And they brought two quarterbacks into this class.
Yes. Yeah, I got the big kid from Northwest Iowa and... Bowman, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Minnesota.
Yep.
So, yeah, if there's not a package, got to find a spot. Or maybe it's a position change this spring.
You wonder about that, right? What would that be? Would
slot
he be
receiver?
DeShonte Jones?
Yes, absolutely.
Boy, he's athletic as hell.
He is. He's fast.
Jeez, unreal. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and finish the hour. Miller and Condon with you until noon. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll start things off with Bama Bob. Scott Dockerman will be here at 11:25 as we will go back to Friday night to the Holiday Bowl, Iowa and USC. Boy, Slovis, that was a blow.
Changed that game in a big way.
The game. No doubt about that. Des Moines Sports Station, 14.
On 1460 KXNO. Sports radio in Iowa starts and ends right here. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. Final couple of minutes of the first hour of the program. Miller and Condon with you until noon on 1460 KXNO. A couple of pieces of video, Trent, from the respective bowl games. Elgin Rucker, who I guess works at KCCI, I guess is the weekend sports anchor there. He had hopefully you saw it. He was on the field with Marcel Spears with the rest of the Cyclones at the end of the game. And it's about, I don't know, seemingly 45 seconds or whatever, of Spears thanking his teammates.
I didn't see
it. It's really good.
Okay.
It's a really good piece of video. Look, Spears was one of my favorite Cyclones. Mm-hmm. I think he was overshadowed as a sophomore with Lanning and that group of linebackers and Willie Harvey. But I thought Spears had a terrific career, number 42. And the piece of video at the end, him just going up to one after another and thanking him for thanking his teammates for being a teammate, quite honestly. I thought that was really good. And then inside the Hawkeyes locker room, Coach Ferentz addressing the seniors, Was that had to be after the game, right?
You would think so,
but
yeah.
I didn't see. I was trying to look at some of the eye stuff.
The tears.
You know? Well, I didn't see that, and I was trying to think. You know, some of the what do they put on their face? The
eye black.
The eye black. Yeah, is it running from the sweat? I couldn't see, but it had to be after the game. But that's a really good piece of video. I mean, there's a reason that. Look, I get it. Half the state doesn't like him, but there's a reason that half of the state reveres this guy, mm-hmm. and why wouldn't they? But him addressing the seniors was terrific video, and then Marcel Spears as well going out on the field at the end of the game, thanking his teammates. Good for you, Elgin Rucker, who got that piece.
And the hokey pokey after the
game.
Yeah,
that was good, right?
How great was that? Yeah. It was the Paulson twins that decided they were going to get that started.
They were the ringleaders
of
that, were they?
I read that. So
boy, those dudes had some fun in their career, didn't
they? They did. Yeah.
Good for them.
Never developed into the players I think people were hoping for, but they had nice 5-year careers.
And
they,
to be able to do that with your brother for crying out loud?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
injuries impacted it, but what a great end to things and quite the send off with Hayden Fry and taking the decals off the helmet, but they did it right.
Yep.
And the USC connection. Many people thought Hayden was leaving for USC there in the mid-80s.
Yes, I remember reading about that.
Yeah.
I don't remember living that, obviously.
Got the bubble, though.
That's right, he did. So it paid off in the long run,
right?
It
did, yep.
Which I guess at the time, that had to be cutting edge.
Yeah, I remember intramurals when he got into the playoffs and into the Final Four.
Oh, that's where you played him?
Got to play in the
nice.
Bubble.
So was
awesome.
That a thrill?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fast. I mean, that was a fast track there.
Really?
I played
so even
Unidome.
You, so you're telling me that you had a little better...
I had a little giddy up going on there.
That's
of course,
funny.
We were in the semifinals, so that meant I wasn't playing a whole lot. But it was really cool
and
being
by the sounds
there.
Of things, there wasn't another game after that.
Oh, there was. No, we won title.
Oh, you did win
oh,
the
yeah,
title.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just going to stop at the semifinal.
Two-time. I got the t-shirts.
Do you?
Two-time champion
well
in intramural flag football.
Well done. Bama Bob, Trent, and I will go around college football to start the 11 o'clock hour. Scott Dochterman from The Athletic at 11:25. More on Iowa and USC. Do you have a play tonight, Mr. Monday Night?
Not a strong opinion on certainly the late game, the Orange Bowl. Do like afternoon game?
Do
though.
You?
We'll play that for Mr.
All right.
Mr. Monday afternoon.
Mr. Monday afternoon. All right, we got another hour to go. It's the final program, at least for us, of 2019.